This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Geer. Today I'm speaking with David Barron. David, how are you?
Hey, Henrik, I'm doing great.
David, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I've been in production most of my career since I got out of college in 1989. I managed a service bureau for about 3 years in the early 90s, which gave me most of my troubleshooting capabilities. Then I've worked in advertising and marketing throughout the rest of that 20 years, where I worked at places like Caps Digital at Leo Burnett, and I worked at a HBO startup company. I worked at the Marketing Store and the Integer Group and Aspen Marketing and several other places that I started to do a little consulting with. And I was a production artist who also did photo retouching and design, but always doing tech support too. Probably because, you know, as a Macintosh user, the IT departments don't always fully support the Macintosh platform. And so there was always a lot of technical stuff that had to go on. And so I started thinking about digital asset management while I was working at the Marketing Store and trying to get a system in there that would help us to manage our digital assets. That's where I kind of fell in love with digital asset management and all the capabilities that you can have with a digital asset management. Although I was a production artist at that time, I had to kind of assume the role of a digital asset manager and technologist with that system. Now, I started here at Wilson Sporting Goods 2 years ago as a digital asset management consultant for their Zynet system that they put in. And I had purchased the exact same system at the Marketing Store 5 years prior. I started to consult on that system because I had known it really well. So after about a year of being here, they hired me full-time, where I administer the asset management system. I can still kind of consult the designers on best practices as I continue to oversee things from the front end all the way to the back end of the system.
And why does an organization focused on sporting goods use digital asset management?
Well, you know, I would argue that every company that creates digital artwork and videos needs some level of digital asset management. I think, too, once you have one file, you have the need for digital asset management, and you have some level of managing that. So much is being created digitally. At Wilson Sporting Goods, I mean, they create a dizzying amount of graphics per year. Small 20-some creative services employees crank out work like crazy every day. We have our own staff photographer who's been working tirelessly here for, I think it's 27 years, just taking product shots. There's terabytes of data and images and tons of people who need them. So wrangling these assets for internal use alone could be considered valuable, but there's offices worldwide and partners and dealers that all want to have, you know, an image of the Duke or whatever product they're trying to sell for their website, for their own catalogs. And so trying to find these assets and getting them the correct one, the one that's retouched and outlined or whatever, is a big challenge. And so digital asset management is key here.
And what is the big idea behind using master images in a DAM workflow?
You know, the master image paradigm is one that I've been percolating in my brain for several years now. While working in ad and marketing agencies, the workflow was always to see each job as sort of a closed loop, you know, a single entity. And all the art created for that one job remained in a links folder, in a job folder. I mean, even if you're working on several pieces with the same images, you'd often duplicate those images into the links folder of the new job in order to keep a collection of files current for that single entity. And if a product or image changed at the 11th hour, which never happens, I understand, but you were up late replicating those changes to all those separate folders and all those separate files and derivatives. You know, the thought just came, you know, couldn't we just keep an image library to link to instead of all this duplication? It was always work that nobody wanted to do and, or had time to work on, even though in the end it would have saved time. So this master image idea was born out of this frustration in production. You know, the temptation to collect all the images into a job folder is pretty strong, but when the files are linked to a master image in the master image library, the benefits are pretty fierce. That image is what I heard called at Henry Stewart, New York this year, is the single version of the truth. The high-resolution images come in or are shot, and they're tagged with metadata, and they get outlined and retouched, and they go into the master image library, nested into several folders of hierarchy. So, you know, you might have football folder, and inside of that, NFL footballs and leather footballs, and so that they get nested into this library like digital shelves. So everybody knows where they are. And, you know, we keep two of them. We keep one for in-progress images and one for published images or files that are ready to go to the general public. And so, but there's only one file that is current. So that changes to that one file happened on that one file, and any of the work that's been being used, that's all they have to do is update the image in that layout. And that way there is no migration at the end of a job where we take all those images and then file them accordingly so that people can see the images and grab the images from the latest catalog. They're already there. And there's no wondering whether or not this was it this image or was it, you know, this one that's next to it that looks similar that was used in this catalog, because they're linked, and the DAM system shows that link, and the files are tagged with the name of that catalog. So it's really been revolutionary when it's done properly. The one thing that really makes it work, because a lot of people have said, well, you know, what if I have a Photoshop file that's got several images composited in there? Mm-hmm. You know, I got to make a new file, and how do I track what files are being put in that Photoshop file? And it's really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can put it into metadata. So I'm really encouraging people now with Adobe CS platform, you can do a lot of compositing effects in InDesign and Illustrator for that matter, although I'm sort of against doing any page layout or major Photoshop compositing in Illustrator, but to do your compositing within InDesign, it just makes everything so much easier. Even if it's, you know, because of the transparency effects that you can do, you don't have to be afraid of transparency. You just have to work a little bit differently because you're not working with pixels in InDesign. But if you can do your composites in InDesign, you still maintain that link to the master image. And if you need to move things around, it's a lot easier to move things around in one program than it is to have to go back into Photoshop, make those changes, move it in. And then resizing, if you're doing a banner for one person and an ad that has to look the same, your resizes are a lot easier, and you don't have to worry about making multiple file images. That's been a challenge to get that through, but when it's done, and I've seen it done really, really well with all kinds of things like reflections and drop shadows and set down shadows and color and vignettes and everything, all done in InDesign, the time savings alone are worth it just in terms of versatility.
And what advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Wow, DAM professionals, I mean, I would say that if you're aspiring to be in digital asset management, you know, some people say that you need to be a student of library sciences. And, well, sadly, I don't have that expertise. From my perspective, you really have to know your users more than the assets themselves, and how they work, and the needs and the skills of those users who are using the system more than library sciences, because you can easily put more than you need to into the DAM system, or more than what the users need. And that's where your concentration should be, is do your homework on who's contributing to the workflow or to the image library, and who needs to get the stuff out. And then you'll have all the answers you need.
Yeah, putting people first is a great idea.
Thanks.
Well, thanks, David.
Well, Henrik, it's been a pleasure.
For more on digital asset management, log on to another damblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo, Blueberry, iTunes, and the Tech Podcast Network. Thanks again.